Should you get a lighter prison sentence because of your age? The teenager with the list of priors had been on bail, admits she's breached her bail 17 times. She bashed, tied up, humiliated a woman for 2 weeks on camera and was jailed for just 2 weeks. The judge said she was too young for a longer sentence. Stephen says, well, why wouldn't you break the law when there aren't any consequences? This country has soft laws and it's no surprise that the youth are taking advantage of the system. Whatever, nothing will change. Bruce says, breached bail 17 times, yet if you or I don't pay a parking fine, we have our license suspended. Or if we smack our kids, we'll have the coppers on our doorstep. Whose interests has the judge got in mind, not the general public's? And Paris says, it's time these judges retire and bring in some harder ones. Come on, Australia. What the is happening to our country? And the list of comments go on. It's great to get your feedback. 133353 is the number. Today, plenty to talk about. G'day, Ben.
Hey, mate, how are you?
I'm good. Whereabouts are you?
Mate, I'm in Brisbane, Queensland.
Okay, why are you up?
I just finished work, heading home.
Yeah, good on you. All right.
Got to make a living.
You got to make a living, mate.
Got to do the shift work, pay the bills.
What do you do?
Process worker, production line stuff.
In what sense?
Steel metal worker, making tube and pipe.
Okay, good on you.
Got to do something.
Does it pay well? Is it a good job?
It's paying my house off.
What sort of qualifications did you need to be able to do this? And the reason I ask, a bit later this morning, we're going to talk about the HSC, which is on this week, started around Australia this week. And yep. I just think that there's way too much emphasis on that exam. And anyway, sorry, go on.
So I got kicked out of school, did a handful of jobs, walked off the street, had a sign advertising it, handed my resume in. 13 years later, I'm now team leader. Supervisor.
There you go. No HSC.
No, troublemaker.
No HSC. We'll talk about the HSC with Graham Wynne a bit later this morning. I would love to hear from people listening around Australia and around the world today. What do you do? Did you need an HSC? Have you made a success of yourself without needing an HSC? And the reason I'm saying it, there are plenty of young kids up now cramming for exams. They're stressed out. They're filling themselves with coffee and God knows what else. And they're under enormous stress. And is the stress worth it?
Do you know, Luke, I have never, ever been asked if I've even finished my HSC, let alone asked to see the certificate or the ATAR. I've never even been asked to show my uni degrees.
But you needed an ATAR to get into uni, didn't you?
Yeah, of course I did. But I'm saying in the workforce, I think it's more about experience and what you can do and who can do the job the best.
You know, sorry, Benny boy, I'll get to in a sec, just while we're here. I think the HSC is 50 years old this year. But before the HSC, you were assessed over a period of time. And the HSC, the exam at the end of the year, only accounted for a small part of your overall mark. It was how you was seen to achieve over a long period of time. And 1967, there you are. I was right. 50 years. I was right. Pulled that out of my ass, didn't I? Anyway, and I think the way it used to be is better. I just think it puts way too much stress on people. And I want to hear from our listeners around the world and around Australia, have you made a success of yourself and not needed the HSC? And for those people who are up studying, have a listen. I think you might get some inspiration. Anyway, Ben, sorry to interrupt, buddy.
No, all good, all good.
What's your story?
Mate, NBN.
So, oh, what a stuff up.
Oh, mate, my mother-in-law, mid-60s, got the letter, need to change over, it's getting turned off, didn't do the research. So I switched over instantly, nothing but drama since. So I'm fortunate enough to live a couple of doors up from her.
And you can help her.
I get dragged into it because obviously technology challenged.
Yeah.
She signed up. It was installed within 5 days, instant almost.
Yeah.
When you consider that service these days.
But if you weren't there to help, what would happen?
Oh, mate, it's still shit now. Sorry, it's still crappy now. So it got installed, it never worked. Mm. The technician did what he had to do, it never worked. So I got involved, she asked for help. It was 2 weeks straight of at least up to an hour to 2 hours on the phone to the service provider, where they finally sent out a new modem, because they said the one we had was faulty. Mm. I couldn't fault it. It still worked at times. It was just in and out, in and out.
Mm.
So then another week of phone calls with the new modem after it took 2 weeks to get to us. Another week of phone calls, and then it was, oh, no, it's not our fault. It's the NBN.
Mm.
But then NBN came out. They came out pretty quickly again. No issues, couldn't find anything. No, it's a service provider. Another week. And it's still continuing now. It's still not right. But yet she's got to pay the bill on time every time. Otherwise, it gets cut off.
Yeah, I mean, this was a colossal stuff-up of an idea. And we still don't know what the end cost will be. When it is finally all rolled out, and I won't be connected till April next year, and I'd be happy never to be connected to the bloody thing, it'll be out of date. And and it will be the slowest in the world. You know, it's...
I'm two doors up. I've got cable, and I've got better service, and I've got quicker service. And I get a letter at least every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You must change over. Well, sorry, no. It's not going to happen. Not until they turn off the cable.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, do you want to know something, Ben? Your mother-in-law isn't on her own.
And that's the problem. There's no... The older generation who are a bit more technology challenged just don't know. There's not enough information out there for them.
Mm.
And unfortunately, there's not enough communication around to nut out all these problems, because unfortunately it's only people like yourself who cover these issues, and most of those people are asleep.
Yeah.
Now, they're not listening to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. But those who... I don't broadcast to people who aren't listening, I only broadcast to people who are. And that's all me and Jess can do.
That's all that matters.
It's all we can do. But listen, tell your mother-in-law that 27,195 complaints have been received about the NBN. It's up from 10,487 this time last year.
Wow.
It complaints have increased a whopping 160%. And these are the reports lodged with the TIO, which is the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman. Her name is Judy Jones. She must be pulling her hair out. And apparently when you go to the Ombudsman and the Ombudsman or the Ombudspeople do something, they can fix it. But even when it's fully connected and working, it's still shit.
It's still too slow.
It is still way too slow, and you can't rely on it. Imagine, Ben, if you lived somewhere remote in Australia and someone's had a severe accident and you can't call emergency services because your bloody phone's not working because of the NBN.
Well, that's the harder thing for her.
It could be a matter of life or death.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. She's had a landline now for forever.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden she's got nothing.
All of a sudden she's got nothing. And you've got no choice. When the NBN's connected, you've got 18 months to decide who your provider's going to be. And then if you choose to do nothing, because I said to Trevor Long, I'll replay the interview for you shortly. I said to Trevor, what if I choose to ignore it? Okay, hook it up, but I'm happy to keep going with what I'm doing. He said, no, you'll be cut off.
Sure. Just the way they want it to be. Give us no choice.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Stephen Conroy, who was the Minister for Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, Kevin Rudd, and then Gillard. Thank you very much for this NBN rollout, which is just a disaster. And I said it would be. It's a waste of money. It is obsolete by the time it's rolled out, and it's not reliable. And like the bloody pink bats that Rudd came up with as well, I wonder if this is going to cost lives.
Well, it's not just physical, it's mental. It drives people. It's driven me up the wall just talking to these people.
There you are.
someone who's a bit less stable, unstable.
There you are.
Who knows?
Good on you, Ben. Thank you for calling up and telling us your story.
No worries. Thanks for your time.
And you're a good son-in-law, okay?
Oh, mate. Enemy, what is it? Friends, keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
That's it. Very well said. Goodbye.
See you, mate.
The Night Shift, around Australia on the Triple M Network. Luke Boner. The Night Shift.
Now, Jason rang up. For those stations who just joined us, Jason rang up originally to talk about plastic bags. Little did he know we were going to wander onto other things. During our conversation, he let it slip that he has a fiancée, lovely girl, Sue. Dear, sweet slip of a thing she is. I have no idea. I'm just making this up. And that they've been engaged for how many years now?
Three years. Crikey.
And I said to Jason, all right, enough's enough. You've got to set a date. You can't just drift along like this. And Jason's mother actually agrees with me. Jason's 43. It's about time he made a commitment.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No, I get it. But wait, Luke. Before we have a chat to him, are we going to be invited? We need to rort it a bit, you know.
One thing at a time.
I just want a free meal. Go on.
Sue, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Say hello to Jess.
Hi, Jess. How are you going?
Hey, Sue.
Now, Sue, I'm just doing a bit of background here. I'm going to get Jason back on in a second. Sue, yep. If Jason sets a date tonight here on the Night Shift on the Triple M Network, do you think you could agree with it?
Oh, absolutely. But we have some legalities that stop it.
Wait, your brother and sister or what? Sorry.
Well, we actually went to school together and met up later on, but that's another story.
That's what happened to me and Nikki.
Hey.
Yeah.
Facebook was an amazing thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. Jason was once married.
Yeah.
Well, still is,
and
Okay, but this is his ex is got a lot of problems. He went through the whole settlement. He won custody of his children, so he was raising them on his own. But because she, let's say, because of her problems, is on welfare, doesn't have to pay for a divorce and won't agree with it.
Oh.
We have to come up with the money.
How much is a divorce going to cost?
Looking at about at least $1,000.
No, when I did mine, it was $100, and we both went down to the courthouse at Manly, and we signed the thing, and then we went across to the we saw a JP at the police station.
Which marriage are you referring to?
Oh, I've lost track. It was the last. Mm. It was the most recent one.
Mm.
It's the most recent one.
Yeah, but because she won't sign the papers and everything, we have to go and do it, which there's no legalities in the sense we can go and do it, but we have to pay the money to get it done.
$1,000.
Around $1,000.
Should we start a GoFundMe?
Actually, it's not a bad idea. I haven't thought of that.
Why don't you start a GoFundMe and I'll plug it for you? We'll get $1,000 by sunrise this morning.
That'd be amazing.
You watch. You start the GoFundMe. I don't know how you do it. How do you do it?
I know. You don't know.
I have no idea either. Sorry.
We'll
I've never looked at it.
I'll talk to you off air.
Yeah, cool.
We'll chat about it.
All right. We'll get this. We're going to get this ball rolling. I need Jason to make an honest woman of you, Sue.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm still like a virgin.
Sorry, we both just paused then.
I'm an honest woman still.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know, I'm being good.
Yeah, go and qualify that.
No, okay. So we haven't actually. I was going to say we behaved ourselves until we get married, but we haven't, of course.
3 years.
Yeah, no, of course not.
That's a stretch, yeah.
It does, Scott. Bullshit.
Yeah, some people can't go 3 hours. But anyway, look, I was hoping we could set a date tonight. We can't.
Well, he said 19th of June next year.
Next year? This time? What is he saying?
He said that's my birthday next year.
What date's your birthday next year?
19th of June.
19th of June, that's what we're planning. We're planning a June wedding next year on your birthday.
Yep.
And marriage thing, what's it called?
Marriage equality thing gets across, which I expect
will, that means that Reverend Jim will start marrying people again, and we can get the Reverend Jim to marry you.
Hey.
That would be awesome.
How's that? Or?
And I'd be happy to do that with, if I want that to come across, and I think this is, it should have just been done already.
Greg Evans.
But anyway.
Greg Evans is a marriage celebrant now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Who would you prefer, the Reverend Jim or Greg Evans?
Oh, Greg Evans would be hilarious.
There you go. See, I can do this for you. I'll organise it.
Oh, that would be amazing. Greg Evans from Perfect Match.
That's him.
Oh, my goodness. Dexter? Could we have Dexter as well?
Do you want Dexter?
That would be great. Yep. That would be perfect.
Okay. So instead of the bridal waltz playing, we can do this.
Yes, it's perfect match. Now welcome the star of our show, Greg
Sue.
Evans.
There you go. That's what we'll do. We'll get Greg Evans.
That would be fantastic.
All right. Listen, you guys take care.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Set up a GoFundMe, get your grand, get a divorce, 19th of June next year.
Look forward to the invite.
Yeah, send the invite to Triple M.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Cheers.
Okay, see you, Sue.
Thank you, Luke.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You see what we do here?
Oh, we make dreams come true, darling.
We bring people together, don't we?
We sure do.
Now go away, you bother me.
This is The Night Shift. Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
G'day, Fee.
How you going?
I'm going good. How are you?
Oh, good. I just ended up dreaming about how much money I can make off my husband for finding him for wolf whistling and meowing at me.
There you go. Yes. Look, you take it as a compliment, I reckon.
I do. He's gorgeous, yeah. He doesn't do it to everybody, just me.
Now, that's it. You can look, there's an old saying, you can look at the menu everywhere else, but just so long as you eat at home.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
That's it. Tell me, Fee, whereabouts are you?
I'm in Garoo, North Queensland, and I'm sorry, there's going to be a train because we're doing the sugar mills are going full flat chat. So I've got a sugar train coming past my house. I'm very sorry.
It doesn't matter. That's part of Australia. Now spell, where is it?
In Garoo, North Queensland.
Spell it.
G-U-R-I.
G-U-R-I.
Yep.
Okay, can I just have a look here? I've never been there, and I love learning about new places.
It's beautiful. And I live around wetlands. I have like 3 km from a boat ramp. I have nothing in front of me, nothing behind me, and I love it here. Peace and tranquility.
Okay, G-U-R-I.
R-I, yeah.
Queensland.
Yeah, North Queensland, yeah.
Okay.
I'm about 45 km south of Townsville.
What's the population?
Probably in a grander scale, probably about 1,000 with the farmers and families and stuff.
Okay,
but in the township,
and is it
probably about 300.
Is it a sugar cane? Is it a sugar cane area?
Yes, it is. We have our own sugar mill here, and we even supply power into the power grid from our sugar mill.
Well, there you are.
Our sugar mill makes molasses that goes out to the cattle when times are tough. And all sorts of things. So we kind of help out and do our stuff.
I'm looking at a property for sale here. $689,000 negotiable. That doesn't say how many bedrooms. Woodstock, Goorey Road?
Yep, yep. Oh, it's on the other side of the highway from us. Yep.
But then there's a property for sale here, $2,700,000.
Yeah, well, that'll probably it'll be whether it be cane or veggies or whatever. We have a large
rural.
Grow a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There we go. Goorey.
We have sunrise here. We grow for sunrise here. We got farms that be just veggies. Rock melons. My husband was a champion grower 3 years in a row for growing rock melons and honeydews and watermelons. So,
well, there you are. There you are. Goorey, folks. G-U-R-I. And the sugar train may come through at any moment, so be prepared. Now, what did you want to talk about?
Well, I feel for the lady who was on before who had a daughter killed in a car accident.
Yeah, it's terrible,
I'm up because I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and pain. So I listen to your show quite regularly. And up here we have a lot of crime with the 14s to 17-year-olds stealing cars.
Yeah.
Crashing, breaking into houses. And like you said, that lady who got tortured by one. There's old ladies in towns who are too scared to go out. You know, because young people harass them, everything like that. But, you know, with my memory of things with post-traumatic and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure I've heard you talking about how they can keep teenagers on a time, you know, so they have to, like, a curfew.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. Well, you are a good listener. Yeah, had a Kathy it was. She was great. She was a taxi driver. Yeah. And she was saying the crime in Townsville is just out of control.
Yeah.
And maybe they should introduce a curfew to keep the kids inside. Would the kids respect that curfew? If they're not respecting the law, they don't give a shit about a curfew, are they?
We have the Townsville Police Force where they do the training there. I can't see why they can't get the upcoming constables go out there at night time, pick them up off the street, take them home and let their parents be aware that their kids got out while they were sleeping. Okay, I know that parents do their best, but there's a lot of young ones out there that don't know respect or common sense or, you know, they are, out of control.
Here's another question, though, Fee. Do the parents care?
Some of them don't, and maybe that's where the police can come into it and they can say, oh, well, this is obviously not a great family environment. Maybe we can get you into a better place. You know, because kids are doing this because their parents are at home drunk, fighting, whatever, you know, had a screwed up life. I know.
Well, we have double standards in this country. We have double standards because if it's a white family that's abusing their children, yes, docs get involved and they take the children away. But when it comes to Indigenous kids, the authorities are very, very careful because they don't want to be called another stolen generation.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And there are Aboriginal kids who live in remote areas of Australia that are treated appallingly, where there's incest, where there's sexual assault, there's alcohol problems, all sorts of problems, and they're not taking the kids away because they don't want to be labelled as stolen generation.
Yeah.
Double standards. If it's a white family, the kids are gone. They're gone to foster care. But not so much in Aboriginal areas.
When I was growing up, I got a good hard belting for my parents, you know. Now it's illegal to do that, you know, and there's a lot of soft parents out there, let's face it, there is, you know. And, I mean, I've got three sons, okay? Like that lady said, I have a shithead. I have one with a disability and I have one really successful, okay?
Mm.
They're all different kids. Just because, you know, you got one that's a shithead doesn't mean that you're a bad parent either.
Yeah.
It's just that some people are just going around and around and around and around, around in circles.
Some. What you're saying is you can be a good parent, but you can still have a shit kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't make you a bad parent. Yeah, interesting observation. Look, Fee, I better let you go before that train comes. You've been wonderful to talk to. Thank you, and thank you for introducing us to Goorey.
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 Goorey. Yeah.
But it's spelled G-U-R-I.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced Guru.
Yeah, Guru. Yeah.
Okay, Fee.
Queensland as it comes.
Yeah.
Have a lovely time, and thank you for all your people calling in. I love this show. It keeps my mind off my pain and my problems. And at the end of the day, when I go to bed, I say, gee, I thought I had some problems, but, you know, other people out there are worse.
All right. Good on you, Fee. You take care. Call back.
Later.
Call back anytime.
Thank you. But
around Australia on the Triple M Network. This is The Night Shift with Luke Burner. The Night Shift.
Just before I get on to some more calls, got some more feedback here. Pete on Twitter says, gee, speaking of GoFundMe, my TV is dying. I'd love to get a new one, but being out of work, I can't afford it. Well, have a crack at GoFundMe then, Pete. Looney on Twitter says, Cairns NBN is sweet as. Had some trouble at the start, but they fixed it. No dropouts and a good speed. Well, there's one happy customer. I'd like to see if we get two. Linda on Twitter says, I'm in Werribee and I have the NBN and it is crap. Holden on Twitter, my NBN is the same. I was supposed to get NBN January or February next year, but it's been pushed back to mid-2019. It's bullshit. Play the Ball on Twitter says, AFL should not allow transgenders to compete. Well done to them. No idea why they're allowed to compete at the Olympics. Well, the thing is, Play the Ball, they're legally women now. If you're a man that's been changed into a woman, you're recognised as a woman. And this particular transgender athlete is actually allowed to represent Australia at an Olympics, but not allowed to play in the WAFL. So there we are. 133353. Emma, g'day.
Hey, how you going, Luke?
Good, thank you, Emma. Thanks for waiting.
That's all right. Listen, a question about North Korea and that crazy
Kim Jong
person who's supposed to be running the place. Now, what would happen? I'm not up on politics. I know what's going on. I don't quite understand it all. But
me neither.
What would? No, yeah. Well, what would happen if someone took him out? Anyone? Someone? What would happen?
Well, another member of his family.
Well,
would take
anyone.
Over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
it would still be same.
It's loony roulette. But okay. Yeah, you often wonder why the CIA haven't snuck someone over the border and just, you know.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they thought about it, but
yeah. Well, the United States will tell you that they're not in the business of taking out other world leaders. History has shown that that's not correct. What about Saddam Hussein? They tried their hardest with Gaddafi. And it's common knowledge that they were trying to take out Fidel Castro.
Yeah, of course. Okay. But so it just gets sort of handed down.
It might slow them up, son. It may speed things up. I don't know.
Hmm.
I know.
Okay.
It's scary times, isn't it?
It's a question we've been, you know, a few of us have been wondering for
a
while.
Yeah.
What would actually happen?
Yeah.
So it just gets passed down. So it wouldn't get any better.
I don't know. No one knows.
Necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay. It might escalate things.
Okay. And just a quick thing on the NBN. I'm in South Windsor. Apparently, we were one of the first to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had no problems, but then again, nothing special about it.
Is it fast?
So, not particularly.
Mm.
No, we haven't really noticed that much difference, but then again, we haven't had any problems. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no.
All right. Mm. So are you a satisfied customer or are you in the middle?
Neutral. Yeah,
okay, all right.
I was happy with what I had.
See, I'm happy. I am happy with what I've got. I want to be able to stay with what I've got, and I won't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, see, that's wrong. You should always have a choice.
Yes.
Yeah. And just one quick thing, the HSC, I did back in 86.
Yes.
Wasn't a high achiever. I only did it because I didn't know what I'd do if I left year 10. And I have never used it. I'm nearly 50, and have never used it, and I've never been unemployed. So,
there you
like
are.
I said, I'm not a high achiever, but I've never been unemployed.
There you are. There you are.
So there you go.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well
Private
said.
Catholic Ladies College and all. So there you go.
What was it? What,
waste of money.
Was it? your parents must be so proud.
Private to a public school. So, well, they're not here anymore, but yeah, God love them. But yeah, sent my son to a public school and he was out in year 10, did an apprenticeship, found himself, and there you go. So.
Hey, tell me, you went to a girls' school?
Yeah, in North Sydney.
In North Sydney? Okay. It wasn't Monte St. Angelo, was it?
It certainly was.
How am I going?
Yeah. Pretty good. Well, there's only, not bad.
Do you know who else used to go to Monte St. Angelo?
Well, I believe Nicole Kidman was there, but I remember her sister. She was a year, I think, below me.
Well, I'll tell you who was there.
There's been quite a few that's gone through.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you who was there probably a bit before you, former New South Wales Liberal leader Kerry Chikarovsky.
Oh, that's right. And there was also someone in the paper a couple of weeks ago. Someone's dating someone. It was in the social pages.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's been a few go through there. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Listen, I'll tell you a story about Monte St. Angelo. I went to Narrabeen Boys High, and me and my friend, we were madly in love with these two girls that went to Monty, and they would have graduated in 79. But anyway,
okay.
we used to play in a band, but we only knew one song, "Smoke on the Water." That was the only song we knew.
Oh, good song.
Yeah, but that's the only song we knew. And so our band went to Monty and played in your hall there, in front of these girls and their classmates, and we played Smoke in the Water about four or five times in a row. That's all we could do.
Well, you know what? It probably wouldn't have mattered being a girls' school just to have males there. And
yeah, we loved it. I can still see the blue uniform. Anyway,
that's it. The nurse's uniform.
Thank you. Yep. Listen, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Good to talk to you, Luke.
Good to talk
Keep
to
it
you.
Up. Catch you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Ah, oh, dear. The memories. It's all we knew. Smoke of the Water. Was played it five or six or seven times in a row. Oh, but we thought we were rock stars. We thought we were fabulous. Oh, God. How's your NBN going? Anyone out there connected? The amount of complaints gone through the roof. Through the roof. The Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, the TIO, has received 27,195 complaints about the NBN so far. That's people who could get through. It is up from 10,487 in the previous financial year. It is just a disgrace, this thing. It's like pink bats all over again. Oh, here's an idea. I've got an idea. This is Stephen Conroy and Kevin Rudd. Let's roll out this thing called the NBN. We don't need to spend money on infrastructure. We don't need to spend money on dams, on harvesting water. Nah, let's give them an NBN that they don't necessarily want. And let's make it really shit house. We'll make it the slowest in the world. And by the way, when we set up this NBN, the NBN itself will not be responsible if it doesn't work. No. That will be the responsibility of the telcos that take up people's offers, but they won't be there to answer the phone. And if you do get through, it'll be a call centre in India somewhere. Yeah, good idea. And what's it costing us? Well, we really don't know. I'm predicting somewhere around $80 billion. And by the time it's finished, it'll be out of date. I spoke to Trevor Long late last night, the technical expert, and I'll be replaying that chat a little bit later on this morning. Good luck trying to get through to someone if your NBN doesn't work. And by the way, after it's connected to your house, you haven't got a choice. You've got to use it. I said to Trevor, I might just have it there, but I'll ignore it. I'll keep going with what I've got. He said, no, you've got 18 months and then you're cut off. Imagine living somewhere in remote Australia and there's an accident on your farm. and you can't make a phone call to get help. Pink bats. Pink bats all over again. Nicole, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Are you laughing at me?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad I can amuse you. So long as you and Jess are amused by me, that is my job done. Why are you laughing at me, Nicole?
Oh, just your sense of humour. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. Why are you up?
Just come back from a night of karaoke with some friends.
Oh, no. Karaoke. Did you sing?
No, I don't sing.
You watch and laugh at them, do you?
No, I was filming tonight, actually.
You're filming?
Yes.
What do you do?
Well, I am a photographer. However, I am in the process of trying to make my first documentary.
Okay, good on you. And what's the documentary about?
It's about a very dear friend of mine. Shout out to Bianca Sayers. She suffers very badly from Tourette's syndrome.
Okay.
She's one of the worst cases in Australia.
Really? What's her name?
Bianca Sayers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she wouldn't mind a big shout out. So, tonight was part of the filming process of putting together a documentary to see if we can raise a little bit more awareness about the syndrome and what it's like to live with such severe Tourette's.
Now, it's when you suddenly yell things out.
Yes, or involuntary movements.
Yes.
Such as punching not only walls or objects, but yourself.
Yes.
Maybe bashing your head against a wall, screaming very, very loudly.
And your friend does all this?
My friend does all of this.
And
so
is she aware she's doing it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, and she's very sensitive to other people's reactions and emotions, and it can be very, very depressing for her because, she might be in a good mood before she steps out of the house, but she goes out into public and sometimes the reactions are so negative that it just puts a dampener on a whole day and the day's over.
Well, I mean, I can understand it because I can also understand that most people who have never experienced someone with Tourette's would see that sort of behaviour as quite confronting.
Yes, it can be.
Mm.
Actually, we had an incident tonight where we went into a little supermarket that was open and bought a few products, and the young girl in there, Bianca, had a few tics and explained to the girl, "I'm sorry, love, I'm sorry, I've got Tourette's." And that was kind of the end of it. The girl went, okay, and we went about our business and we left. Later on, I went back into the shop and I asked the girl behind the counter, "Did you comprehend what was happening when it was happening? Did you understand when Bianca said she had Tourette's? Do you know what that is?" And she replied, "No." So I was then able to have a really quick little conversation with her and enlighten her,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suppose, about Bianca's situation and how severe it can be. And we take the little things in life for granted.
Is Tourette's, so, I don't know much about it, is Tourette's linked at all with epilepsy?
I don't believe so. However, I'm not an expert on it. So,
because the only reason I said, because you referred to her involuntary movement as a tic, and I know that sometimes people with tics, I read somewhere that it can be connected somehow with epilepsy. But look, I don't know. I only know what I hear.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I don't know. So that's why I'm up.
Well, I very much look forward to seeing your documentary. And is it going to be aired on television? Have you got someone who's going to air it for you so we can all see it?
We're in such the beginning stages at the moment. I really have no idea what I'm doing. We're just kind of doing it as we go along in everyday life situations where we can. Filming can be difficult. It's more a moral and an ethical issue that people don't like being filmed if they're not really aware of it. And that's hard because you want to get the real reactions of people. And if you go back after the fact and say, "Listen, I'm sorry, but, we were making a documentary so that we can film what everyday life is like and the normal reactions of people, and they're already upset, so they really don't want to listen to you about it. So,
well, look, good luck, and I'd love to see it. Your friend, does she have a job?
No.
She would
love to work.
But she's unable to hold down a job because of the Tourette's.
Mainly because of the swearing, which is quite rare in Tourette's, I believe. It's only about 2%. So it can be extremely confronting, extremely loud, and, of course, you know, little children that haven't been exposed to anything like that, or anyone raising their voice or hitting themselves or screaming or pulling their hair, can be quite scared.
Yeah.
And it's not a well-known disease, I don't think.
Well, people often talk about it, and they have fun with it. You know, they say anyone who speaks loudly and swears loudly has got Tourette's, you know. They use it as a joke.
Yeah. So it can be kind of used in that way by people. So, like I said, we have no idea what we're doing. We've put our feelers out. We've asked a few people for some help and some advice. Where do we go from filming to editing to finding people that might be interested in looking at it and helping us spread the word a little bit more?
Well, you never know who's listening. We have a very wide audience. Maybe there's someone listening that has connections. You know, you never know, Nicole. If you like, leave your details with Jess, and if someone in the industry is interested in helping you and moving this along, we can put you in touch with them.
That would be amazing. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, it's the least we can do. I want to see you succeed.
Ah, thank you. I want to see Bianca succeed as well. And, you know, hopefully after it's all over, there's some kind of, you know, employment opportunities out there for her, even if it's starting her own business.
Yeah. All right. You never know who's listening, Nicole. Stay there. Jess will get your details. Maybe someone's listening that can help take this further. We'll let you know.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. You stay right there. 133353 is the telephone number, the people you meet on the night shift.